HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman, hosted by Carl Franklin. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 120, recorded live Wednesday, June 18th, 2008. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik RAD Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows Forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. And by .NET Developers Journal, the world's leading .NET developer magazine. Online at www.sys-con.com. In this episode, Scott talks with designer Felix Cork and developer Richard Griffin about working with XAML.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman, and this is another episode of Hansel Minutes, and I'm sitting down here with Richard Griffin and Felix Cork from Conchango. And Felix is a designer, and Richard, you are not.
No, I'm not.
You are not a designer.
No.
But you guys do a lot of WPF in the real world. You're out there actually charging people money, doing this as a business.
Yeah, yeah. We have paying customers that pay for WPF apps and also Silverlight applications. It's real world. We have clients who shout when we don't deliver, and all the standard stuff that most people go through when they're building apps for real world.
Now, I'm starting to do WPF, and I have noticed that all of my WPF applications are ugly. So I'm thinking that maybe I'm missing something, and that something might be a designer at my side.
Yeah, I think what the problem is here you've got is that developers are used to doing WinForm application development. They don't realize that with XAML they can put a really glossy sheen over it, and they can make programs look as good as you want to, really.
Yeah, so some people have said, some of the naysayers have said that it's kind of a myth, that the idea that there'd be this designer that's going to go and generate all the, work with all the XAML and make it wonderful. And I think we're putting this in the, we as .NET developers are putting this in terms of WinForms, because we visualize ourselves like, well, I guess the designer would put the button on the form and I'll write the code behind. And that's not reality. But what is it about XAML that makes this the separation of concerns possible?
Well, the good thing about XAML particularly is that it's accessible to developers and designers. It's got strengths for both. I mean, for me, it's got vector animations, it's got styling, gradients, colors, shapes, all the good stuff that you would get in any traditional vector illustration application. And you've got your timelines for animation. And also, it's for developers, you've got real ability to get in there. And it's a very powerful language, more so than just markup.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I love about XAML is that it's human readable, yeah, and it's highly toolable. So it means that designers like Felix don't necessarily have to crank too much XAML. At the moment, yeah, the tools aren't as good as what they can be, but with a new release of Blend, the June release of Blend now, that team is doing some really great work, listening to the community and putting in some great features. So as those tools get better, designers won't need to look at XAML.
So you said it was human readable. So I mean, it's angle brackets, which you as a developer, I continue to remind folks which one of you is the developer and which one is the designer. You as a developer, you think that's a good thing, that you can see the angle brackets. It's not just a blob or a .foo file, and you can't look inside it. You like that it's also text.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what was the other word that you said?
It's human readable and
Tautable?
Toolable. Yeah. Sorry, that's my dodgy English accent.
No, that's my dodgy American accent, so I forgive. So it's toolable in the sense that there are tools that can sit on top of it.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, Felix, do you care that it's angle brackets as a designer?
Oh, definitely, because as a web designer, I've definitely got experience of HTML, CSS, and a lot of that you can bring across. I mean, it's very similar to the way you do an HTML marked up page. You'd do all your HTML and then have an external CSS file to do the styling. So this is very much the same with resource dictionaries. And so, there's a lot of commonality.
So when you sat down for the first time, like that, the day that you saw XAML for the first time, did you look and say, oh, it's like HTML, but for richer applications?
Not at all. No, I fired up Blend and then I started playing around with bringing in images, trying to animate things, following the tutorials, trying to add colors and shapes and what have you and controls. And then you would flip it over into the split view, and then you could see what it's there. And then that was really interesting because it's kind of like Flash, except that you can get under the hood of it and really sort of play around and really edit it at a very small level.
Is that a strength? I mean, I did some Flash work when it was called Future Wave, which was many, many, many years ago. I don't know if you remember
just
that.
Just before I was born.
Really? Just before you were born? Yeah. Oh, God, I'm old. I mean, the tool is in your way sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. You haven't got the... it's so good. I mean, it's... Give an example. I mean, if you've got an object in your on your scene that's a pixel out, I mean, you can zoom in and move it around, or you can flip it over to code and just delete the one digit. So it's whatever works best for you. But I find it much faster to work like that.
And you find yourself doing that a lot.
A lot. In fact, the more I use Blend, the more you have to get into the code and do it yourself anyway, because
really?
It's not entirely 100% perfect. And it's in the same way as you can use Dreamweaver or Expression Web to visually design web pages. It's after a while, you find it a lot more efficient and a lot quicker just to go in there and edit it yourself in the code. And it's not actually that scary. It's very similar. There's a lot more proprietary attributes and tags to get your head around, and a lot of different ways of thinking.
I wonder if this is a lot like, again, before you were born in 1991, when people were doing HTML, they started, you know, like the hardest thing that you could do when we were all learning HTML at the birth of the web was tables. I mean, literally, this was like, oh my God. Tables, well, slow down. So we would use front page to make a table, and then you would flip over. But after a while, the whole community matured, and now you just, you know, call span, row span. We know this stuff in our heads. We can bang this out of Notepad. Is the same thing going to happen with XAML, that we're going to use the Blend and use the designer inside of Visual Studio, and then eventually we'll just all get it and we'll care less about these visual designers?
Yeah, I think very much that's exactly what's going to happen. But Blend is really, really necessary for taking those first steps. I mean, you can't just sit there and start writing out, cranking out XAML without... I mean, no one can just devour a book about it and then sit down and write it straight out. But and it's a really, really good helping hand, especially the split. It really is powerful.
Yeah, I mean, from a developer's perspective, doing WPF and Silverlight, you've got to learn Blend. It's a great starting point when you want to build a UI control. Hey, I start in Blend. I don't start in Visual Studio because the CIDR surface that's in
Visual... CIDR being the code name for the Visual Studio WPF designer.
Yeah. That's just not really up to the job.
Well,
so,
let me ask you this, though. Why is it good that Blend is separate? I mean, as a Visual Studio person, you're the developer. Do you wish that Blend was inside of Visual Studio?
Yeah. I just want one tool.
You want one tool. You want the same quality that... So Felix is shaking his head, though.
Well, it may be good for you to have one tool. Coming from a designer's perspective, I find that Visual Studio is one complicated enough sort of application with too many applications and parts to it. And to separate from a designer, obviously, it'd be great to have the abilities to edit XAML in your Visual Studio because you're... The display sucks in Visual Studio. You can't see anything of any substance.
So, yeah, to make that kind of clearer, what I'd actually like in Visual Studio is to say, hey, I'm a creative developer doing WPF. There's some sort of option there, and I can select that option, and it will load up the surface designer that I want to use for that particular job.
Mm-hmm. So you want to be able to register a XAML editor with Visual Studio.
And similarly, if I'm a designer... then I should be able to fire up the tool and say, hey, I'm a designer doing Silverlight, and it will load up a reduced set of tooling to make that easier. Having two tools means that I have to learn a new tool. But saying that, learning Blend is really quite cool in terms of it's a great meeting place for the developer and the designer. Mm-hmm. You don't know anything. Neither of you know anything about Blend, so it's kind of it's a good place to start building that relationship because you're both in the same boat.
I think that designers, though, are more used to having 6, 12, 20 different tools that they call on, and they're not at all uncomfortable with having that, you know, that group in Explorer on their Mac where it's like, well, here's my tool kit.
Oh, sure.
Well, my developers are getting more used to having Visual Studio be the kitchen sink.
Yeah, so as a in my daily routine, it is you tend to have Illustrator, Photoshop, Dreamweaver, Acrobat, your web browsers, your Flash, all these applications open at once. So it's no real change of perspective. I know developers only live in one world, and that's the world of Visual Studio. But
I agree with Felix that as a dev, you know, we've been using Visual Studio. It's our home for the last kind of 5-6 years and stuff. But the three tools that I have when I'm doing WPF and Silverlight is Visual Studio, because hey, you know, we use Visual Studio pretty much. That's where we live. Blend to do my UI pieces. And what tends to happen is that I'll build the UI in Blend, and then when I actually want to go and crank the XAML by hand, that's where Blend sort of falls over a little bit. So that's when I move into Visual Studio. Mm. It's got context-sensitive help. I can do all that. I can build it. I can find the errors and all those sorts of things that we know and love really easy inside of Visual Studio. The other tool that I use a lot is KazAML, which is Robbie Ingebretson's kind of little baby, which is up on Codeplex.
It's KazAML, KAXAML, and you can, you know, search for that and you'll pick it up. It's a little XAML editor, but it's a split screen. It's got all sorts of things like IntelliSense and whatnot for banging out little samples. But I'm hearing from you, Richard, that you're more likely to have one foot squarely in Visual Studio, and then you occasionally bring a foot into Blend. But I'm hearing from Felix that he would never open Visual Studio unless forced.
That's definitely not the case. It used to be when I first started doing it, but now it comes really, really apparent really quickly that you have to have Visual Studio. It's, as a designer, it's one of the things I tell everyone who's starting out in Silverlight and WPF, because it's a totally alien environment to work in for designers. I've seen it over shoulders before I started doing WPF, but I've never ever installed it, used it, or even really knew what it did.
And is that because of some thing in Blend, some falling down in Blend? I assume that, what is it in Blend is not doing that would let you avoid using Visual Studio?
Okay, there's probably three main things that I use Visual Studio for that you have to use Visual Studio for. One, you got a site-wide search and replace, which you haven't got in Blend, which is, you know, paramount for replacing brushes or styles or that kind of thing. The second one is TFS, and that's when you're working collaboratively, which you have to be with a developer. You've got to have source control. You've got to be able to roll back. When I destroyed a program, I've got to be able to roll back to when it was stable. And also the what was the third thing? I use it for
You can remember.
Maybe it's just two things.
So I'm hearing source control support directly in Blend, and
IntelliSense, as Rich mentioned previously. It's IntelliSense, which, you know, because you do find yourself writing more and more code, I find, more XAML, when you become more proficient with it.
And
I
mean, the XAML 2.5 June release doesn't have IntelliSense in the split view?
No, it's got a very, very shockingly awful code editor. I hate to say it, but it just doesn't really... It's really for tweaking. It's for no way writing, so...
What doesn't sound so bad when you say it in an English accent, but still, shockingly awful is...
Shockingly awful, dear chap.
It's shockingly awful. Hi, this is Scott Hanselman with a word from our sponsor. Do you know how to build Web 2.0 AJAX applications with Web 1.0 components? You really can't. If you want to do the next generation web applications, you'll need next generation components, just like the ones that our friends at Telerik have got. They're RAD controls for ASP.NET AJAX. It's a huge pack of web controls built on top of ASP.NET AJAX that'll add previously impossible performance and interactivity to your next project. The new controls mirror the AJAX API from ASP.NET, so development is really straightforward. The client scripts are shared, so loading time is not a problem. If you just set a couple of properties, and you'll be able to automatically bind to web services for a really efficient operation. The new RAD editor from ASP.NET AJAX Telerik loads up to 4 times faster than before, and the new RAD grid handles thousands of records in just milliseconds. But as always, it's best to try for yourself. So you can visit telerik.com/ASP.NET AJAX and download a trial. Thanks a lot. So what is your standard workflow if you're going to sit down and make an application tomorrow, something trivial? If you're going to go write Baby Smash, where would you start? What's the workflow like?
Did you just say again? You can't say things like that.
Have you written Baby Smash before? Did you write it last night?
I could design it, but I couldn't write it.
You could design it. So what's the workflow like? I've got this game, you know, I want babies to play with it. There's interaction, of course, but ultimately, right now, my shapes look like... Well, they're ugly because I'm not a designer, but just use that as an example. What's the workflow? You sit down, we've caught the concept, now what?
So pretty much where we start is that I'll kind of kick things off by setting up the project. So create the solution, create the projects inside that solution, just as you do, and as you're doing at the moment, more than likely.
Because you're much more qualified to go file new project than Felix is.
Well, maybe.
If you do file new through Blend, you don't get the same kind of setup and solution. It's not quite as complete, I believe.
Really? So if you file new project in Blend, is a different file new project than in Visual Studio? It sounds like if that's the case, that's a problem.
Yeah, I think that's the case. There are definitely differences between when you're creating assets in Blend in comparison to when you create them in Visual Studio, which
the templates don't necessarily line up exactly.
You can't drop it here. There isn't a web file. You don't get index.html generated for you. You have to go through, add it to another solution in Visual Studio. So I can create a Silverlight project. Hmm. I can't open up the folder and run anything. I can't drop it in a web browser.
Oh, interesting.
So I think what we did with that was we just kind of opened it up in Visual Studio and did the pre-compiled web thing, built that in release and pushed that out, and Felix put that up on his site.
So you make the new project, and now you've got it, and that's checked into source control so Felix can get to it, and now what?
Yep, so what we're tending to do there is use a kind of model view presenter style pattern, because in WPF and Silverlight, it's all about the data. If you get your data model right, then everything's cool. If you get it wrong, then because data binding is so powerful in WPF, you can really sort of not take full advantage of data binding, and that's kind of something we saw in the baby smash was that you could be using data binding a lot. You could be taking advantage of that power. So once that's kind of done and everything's checked into to TFS or whatever source control management system you're using, it's time for the designer, Felix, to start doing his cool stuff on top.
Yeah, so once the project's all set up and all in TFS and all available to me, I'll open up the CS Proj in Blend, and I'll have on one monitor. Normally, I'll take the Photoshop mockup or the Illustrator mockup, and then I'll, with Blend in the other window, I'll start laying it out. I'll lay out the grid structure to start with, so I've got a layout in place. I can start dropping in assets that I've exported from Illustrator using the Mike Swanson plugin, and I'll take all the vector goodness and all the bitmaps, and I'll start laying them out and doing the basic sort of controls.
So your mockup might be in Photoshop or in a paint program. It's in Illustrator, but Blend isn't to the point where you're going to go and do your mockups in there.
Oh, no, no way. It's not mature enough as an application compared to Photoshop and Illustrator. I mean, you can draw rectangles and ellipses and some sort of path tool, but it's really, really, especially when you're experienced as a designer, and every designer knows Photoshop and Illustrator inside out.
So the tool that you refer to is the XAML export tool from Mike Swanson, which was been a very, very long time ago.
Yeah,
I remember
it's been ever since I first learned WPF, which two or three years ago, that tool has been, Illustrator plugin has been available to me, and I use it, I'd say, daily.
But it hasn't been revved since then.
It hasn't been updated.
2004?
It's unbelievable. It's such a vital tool. And,
really? So if that was
free,
gone, what would happen?
I might have to start using Expression Design, which would be a terrible shame because it's not nearly as clean or as useful.
So the Illustrator plug, the Illustrator export's a fundamental part of your workflow. Okay, yep. So now you've created your XAML and you've got him off making it prettier, while I assume simultaneously you're working on the interactions, the mouse down events and all that.
Not really. One of the things I want to just pick up on very quickly before we kind of move on with the rest of the workflow is that, As Felix has just said, designers inherently know how to do vector graphics, so don't do flat bitmaps anymore. By doing vector graphics, instantly we can have something that that looks pretty similar to those flat PSDs because we can just import those vector graphics, and you know what clients are like. As soon as you've got a cool looking background, they think that the app's kind of finished and built. So.
Yeah.
It's a really great sort of productive way of building your application.
So you're saying bringing in PNGs, bitmaps of any kind, that is just the anathema to what you're trying to accomplish in WPF?
Sometimes yes and no. I mean, obviously they don't scale, or then they're not resolution independent, so they can be a bit of a curse. But also you have to use them. You have to use them. I mean, if you're going to do small icons, I find the anti-aliasing is very strong in WPF, and it can blur the lines. And also for when you're using bitmap effects, I tend to use alpha transparent PNGs for drop shadows and glows, because it's very CPU inexpensive. So you have to use them, but ideally use vector when you can.
Okay. So for the most part, though, vectors are your heavy lifting should be done in vectors.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
So once we've got this, we've got the project set up. We've got some layout now. So we've kind of got the basic skeleton in the UI of how this app's going to look. The next stage really is data. So we need to get that data from the data model up and into the UI. So my next job really is all about data binding and building those data templates in XAML. Ready for Felix to start styling that data that's coming through.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you give him basic data? How do you give him data? You don't necessarily have him hooking up to a database. You might want to just give him some sample data. How do you give him that?
So, when you're building projects, the database guys or the service kind of the guys that are programming that back end side of things, whether that's SOA or some sort of data access layer. They haven't got any data ready for you to wire straight up to. So what we tend to do is we tend to just create some simple XML data islands inside of the XAML. Mm-hmm. And those kind of look the same sort of shape as the data that we're expecting from the data access layers lower down.
I see. So the properties line up appropriately,
yeah.
Even though it's something entirely different than what will eventually be used.
Yeah.
Because the data binding expressions are just strings, right? So you can say, I'm going to refer to first name and last name, and whether that's from an XML island or from an object, it doesn't matter.
Sure. So you can just swap those straight out and, change a bit of the XAML. And write some code to bind up to the data context. And hey, it's so long as those properties are existing on your business objects, then there's no XAML to really change.
Is data binding the bridge that keeps the designer and the developer together? Is that the interstitial tissue?
It's not a huge part of my world, really. I mean, I mostly leave that to the experts. I mean, it's great to have it there, and I can sort of toy with it, but realistically, it's I'm dealing with the way that the data is presented rather than getting the data in there. So, as soon as there's text coming into the application, I can style it, add fonts, change them, how it's going to look. But really, that's Rich's world, the developer world.
And is that what you do, Rich? You'll give him a sample in XAML and you'll say, well, see all these squares in a line with people's names in them? That's pretty much how it should look, except make it wonderful.
Yeah, pretty much. So my world is pretty similar to the world which you've always lived in. With regards to me going and chatting with other geeks and finding out, what C# do we need to use? What are the patterns we need to use? And understanding what the developers lower down in the level in those layers that we have want, and then kind of translating that geeky dev talk into something that Felix can understand, so that we can work out together how this is the data that we're getting through. Is it the right type of data, and how we bend that data and bend the XAML and the C# to make sure that we build something that looks great and is great to use?
And is this a fundamentally different way from working with a designer on a web page or doing CSS and HTML and kind of standard web 2.0 div type stuff? Is XAML and the way that works and the way that you interact with a designer fundamentally different, or is it very similar?
Well, yes, it's different, but it really depends how you're working at the moment. If you're working in a very agile, scrum-based approach, XP-type approach, then it's highly possible that developers are already working with designers. But in the most part, what we see is that designers build in Photoshop, and then basically once that's done, it's kind of chuck it over the wall and the devs pick it up, and it's kind of, oh, how do we build this in this technology? So we kind of take baby steps together, and for each kind of little couple of steps that we take, we're feeding back with one another to make sure that the technology can bend in the way that we want it to bend. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if it doesn't, then we might, and by that, that might be a performance issue. So we pick up those issues a lot quicker, mm-hmm. Rather than the traditional approach, which is maybe Felix doing all the design and then handing that over ready for me to do my data by.
So it's not a thing where Felix works for weeks and weeks and comes up with the grand XAML and then hands it to you. No. It is a constant collaboration.
Yeah, definitely. It absolutely has to be that way, we believe. And the consequence of that is, you know, and I'm still amazed by this with WPF and Silverlight, how quickly we can build great looking apps using this kind of really collaborative, iterative way of working. It means, you know, the apps that we're giving away, well, you know, we built those in a couple of days. Mm-hmm. If we were to build those in ASP.NET with standard web technologies, then, you know, that would take a lot longer for us to do that.
What's the learning curve, though? I mean, I'm 2 weeks, 3 weeks into WPF, and I'm still trying to get shapes on the screen for babies, while you're telling me you're putting together data, you know, data-bound applications in 3 days that are gorgeous. So not only do I not have the designer in my pocket, but I'm obviously still going up the learning curve hill.
Sure. I think the big problem that you have at the moment with Baby Smash is that you don't have any designers on board. So for all you designers that are out there, if you want to check out, you know, if Scott could, and the rest of the developers out there could really do with some help, I think, with regards to build, making something look really, really cool.
Because if we don't solve this Baby Smash problem, I don't know what the history, you know, the future of WPF is going to be.
Yeah. It could all be over for WPF if you don't get the Baby Smash out.
But what's the learning curve? I mean, how hard was this for you? When did it click for you? And then what, you know, how much harder am I going to have to pound my head against the wall before this snaps?
So I think with XAML, XAML-based technologies, the concepts are really cool, yeah? So we get the concepts pretty instantly.
Yeah, I get it. Now, I will tell you this. I get the concepts. That took about 2 days. And now I see how data binding will work. And now that I've had some really great refactors from the community, I'm starting to get that.
Yeah.
But now the depth of it is I'm drowning.
Sure.
There's 18 ways to do the exact same thing. And
yeah.
One of them is right.
So the learning curve is steep. I think the initial concepts we can grok really quickly and kind of say, yeah, that's better than what's come before, but it's actually writing that code, that XAML, which, you know, can be very painful at times. One of the things that kind of helped me was KazAML, you know, just playing with KazAML and being able to write XAML in a way which, you know, is really playing, really poking what can be done, rather than starting with Blend creating lots and lots of XAML and you not really knowing what's going on under the covers. But one thing I would say is for all the guys out there, and girls, sorry, that are out there developing it and wanting to do more XAML-based technologies, is really start with Silverlight. It's smaller, and as you just said, you know, Microsoft tend to provide too many ways of doing one thing. Whereas in Silverlight, what you'll find is because it's a newer technology, there is only one way mainly to do things.
And it's a constrained system, a constrained runtime.
Yeah, so the kind of the mental map of Silverlight is a lot smaller, and you can grok that mental map real quick. And once you start cranking the XAML in Silverlight, then you can understand the concepts and start to get those concepts better understood in your mind. And once that's happened, then it's a pretty easy switch to go from Silverlight into WPF, because, hey, you know, it's just XAML.
All right, very cool. And anything you want to add, Felix, as we wrap up here?
I just think it's very true that I think it's a great place, as we keep mentioning, it's a great place, Blend is a great place for the designer and developer to sort of work together. But also, as you're both learning XAML, you both have to learn XAML, or at least get the concepts of Blend is a really good space for you to both start learning it together. So if he finds out something, he'll tell me, I'll find out something, he'll tell me. So it's a really good way of learning collaboratively as well as building collaboratively.
Very cool. Well, thanks so much for sitting down with me to talk about WPF. Felix Cork and Richard Griffin, thanks so much from Finch Angular.